Bringing it home with Sarah and Tanil. Sarah, June is going on.
It is moving on.
Yes, it is. We are leading up to Father's Day weekend. And
Right.
you and I both, we grew up in similar
We
families, kind of
did.
similar. We both had a dad there in the house. Mom and
Right.
dad were married to each other and we lived there and,
Right.
happily ever after type of thing. But,
True.
not every family looks the same.
You're right. Not everybody has both parents at the house.
Right.
You know, some people are raised by other family members, those kinds of things. So,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes. And so we kind of want to talk about something that we missed the boat on just a
In
little bit. Yeah, the boat kind of
May,
sailed.
yes.
What happened in
Yeah,
May?
so May was Foster Care Awareness Month.
Yes, Foster Care Awareness Month. And so we didn't talk about it in May, but this is a good week to talk about
It
it.
is.
Because like we said, families look different and we just kind of want to introduce this concept and maybe talk about some myths and put some information out there.
I think that's great, but you and I had to bring in an expert in this
Yes,
field.
because we're not experts, but
No.
luckily we have a friend.
Right. So joining us this morning on the podcast is Miss Donna Goodman. She's the senior trainer and recruiter for Youth Villages in Northwest and Southwest Tennessee. So welcome, Miss Donna.
So nice to be here. So excited to be here with y'all today.
I love Miss Donna because she's out in the community. I see Donna at different events and, we've kind of gotten to know each other from seeing each other. So Donna, thanks for agreeing to be on today.
Thank you for asking me. I'm always willing and ready to talk about foster care.
Yes, I know you are, and I see your posts on social media about foster care. So I tried to do some digging, and Sarah and I were looking, and the only numbers that we could find, I like the statistics, and the only numbers I could find was that about 400,000 children are in foster care in the US. So that didn't tell me a whole lot about what's going on in Tennessee. So if you can kind of give us some numbers so that we kind of get a picture of what's going on in our state, and then is the number higher at certain times than others? Talk about the numbers.
Well, I will tell you before I discuss the numbers that we have more kids in care than I can ever remember, and I've been doing this a long time. Unfortunately, after the pandemic, our numbers and during have increased, which we all know that mental health needs are much more than they were before. But we went from around 5,000 kids in care before the pandemic to almost 9,000
Oh my goodness.
children
Oh,
in care.
my word.
Which, yeah, think about that. That is huge numbers. But let me tell you how many foster parents we have across the state, foster homes that are licensed to take those kids into their homes. We only have 4,000. That includes DCS and all the private agencies. So we're in great need for foster homes.
That's not enough, Donna.
It's crazy. It's crazy numbers, isn't it? When you think about it, those are crazy numbers, and we have a lot of sibling groups. And obviously, when we have sibling groups, you want to keep them together unless there's some reason that you need to separate them. And sometimes it is a need to separate them, to be honest with you. But, when you only have 4,000 foster parents to choose from, and fortunately, some kids are waiting to be placed. They might be waiting in one of Isaiah houses. They might have to go to a group home. We don't want that. We want our children to be in the least restrictive when they're placed into care. So if they can be in a foster home in a home setting, that's what we want for them.
Right.
That's what they deserve. And we need, all different types of homes. People have a lot of myths about what your home has to look like to be a foster home. So I know that we're going to get into some of that today, and I'm so excited y'all invited me to talk about it.
Yes. Well, I got another question for you. You know, overall, how did the majority of children end up in foster care, and how long are they typically there?
Kids can come into care for a lot of different reasons. The biggest reason is going to be abuse, and that abuse can look a lot of different ways. Most of the time in society, because this is what we hear about, is the sexual abuse. But abuse comes in many different ways. It could be from a dependent neglect, not taking care of them, not having stable housing. So abuse is the number one reason that children come into care. And what was the second part of your question again? I'm sorry.
How long are they usually in a foster care home?
That depends on child to child. In a perfect world, within 6 months, where a child comes into care and goes back to a permanent living situation. Our goal when a child comes into care is not to keep them into care, is to stabilize the family and help the child through the trauma they've been through and to get them back to a permanent living situation. But a permanent living situation can look a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be them going back to live with their biological mom and dad. It could be going to live with grandma. It could be going to live with an aunt and uncle. It could be going to live with a very supportive person that takes custody of that child. So that can look a lot of different ways. But we all know we don't live in a perfect world.
No, we don't. We don't. So
again,
you already said you guys don't have enough foster parents. So, you know, one of the biggest things that people think about when they consider being a foster parent, do you have to be married in order to be considered?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I hear that a lot. Well, you know, I'm not married. You don't, families look, just like y'all talked about in the beginning, look all in all different kinds of ways. You know, just because it's a single parent family doesn't mean that it's not just as stable as that two parent family.
No so, wedding bells required, Sarah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the other number one questions I get, do I have to own a home? No. You can be renting. You know, those are not things that we're concerned about. Now, there are lots of policy and procedures that do have to be followed, but those are two things that we're not concerned about. Now, youth villages in particular, we do allow parents of two adults that are cohabitating even to be foster parents, but they have to live together for 3 years because we need to be sure that that is a stable environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not married.
Yeah.
Well,
we get that.
What about, are there restrictions on like other children in the home? You know, if I have children and want to foster, would that matter how old my kids are and those types of things?
Well, when it does matter is the age of that child. So let's say that you have a 17-year-old and you want to foster a 5-year-old, but you don't have any open bedrooms for a 5-year-old and you want to put a bed in the room with your 17-year-old, which is completely fine, but you wouldn't be able to foster a 5-year-old. You only can go 3 years up or down from the age of the child in the room.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Safety
and
everything. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
You can't put a 5-year-old in with a 17-year-old.
Well, I wouldn't do that. But I didn't know about the 3-year
thing.
That is
not going to end up good.
So talk about the training. I'm a CPR instructor. And so I know that CPR is one of the trainings that some of the potential foster parents go through, or people that are already foster parents. What other types of training do people go through when they're trying to become certified?
Everyone in the state of Tennessee that is becoming a foster parent, regardless if they're going through a private agency, if they're going through DCS, everyone in the state of Tennessee has to go what's called 10 key training. And this is specific training. There are four of those classes that you do have to go through. Well, we're going to talk about trauma focus, how to help them reroute and become resilient. So that's a standard across the state. Everyone has to teach that, no matter what agency, what affiliation. If they're going to be a foster parent or kinship home, they have to go through those classes. That also includes the four 10 key classes. It includes med management. It includes CPR and first aid also. So those classes have to be done. Then on top of it, for youth villages, in youth villages, we're a local nonprofit that works with children and families. And, you know, our goal is that it would be great if no kids had to come in and care. But again, we don't live in that perfect world. But at youth villages, we teach also policy and procedures for youth villages and specific policies, which most agencies teach that in some form or fashion also. We also teach a couple of other classes built around trauma for children. So at Youth Villages, our classes go for a month and a half, two classes a week. So, but just the standard across the state for anyone becoming, they have to do those four Tinky first aid and med management class.
Okay, some education,
yeah,
Sarah.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
So in addition to education, are there specifics on what the potential foster's finances look like? Is there a certain amount I got to have in the bank, or like
gotta have some money?
Yeah, a minimum credit score, those kinds of things. You know, I know you want to make sure they're going to a stable environment, you know, like you said.
Yeah.
So do y'all look at financials?
Absolutely, we do look at financials. And it's not about having, you know, you having a big fat bank account. That's not what we're looking at. What we're looking at is your day-to-day living. Can you afford the way you're living and take care of a child?
Mm.
So we're going to ask some pretty basic questions about your mortgage, what kind of bills that you have, and how that equals up to the pay that's coming in. And, you know, we're going to need like pay stubs. If you draw disability, we're going to need why you're on disability and how much that disability is, those kind of things. So we're not looking for you to have a big stash in the bank or a big savings account. We're just looking to be sure that without the stipend you get for the foster children, you can maintain your household.
So you mentioned a stipend. What kind of support can families get that are fostering children?
Absolutely. There is a stipend that is given, and it's different from company to company, from DCS. But there is what we call a per diem, per night that you get for the child. And that depends on the child's needs. So that can look very different depending on the child and the child's needs. And also, you have to remember that all children that are put in care, they do get teen care. So you don't have to pay for anything like insurance, them going to the doctor, things like that. You know, so in, you know, logistic-wise, I can only talk about Youth Villages. At Youth Villages, if we have a kid that comes into care, they often might not come with any clothes. We work with DCS and Youth Villages to be sure that they have what they need to get started in this journey at this home. We don't want to send them to the home with nothing. You know, so it could be, you know, that we call somebody up and, you know, we get a bed for them, or we were able to go shopping for the children, but we want to be sure that they have what they need. And then at that point, we expect the foster parents at Youth Villages to treat them as their own, but they will be getting a per diem per night for that child.
Okay.
And again,
all right.
That's how much good. That is just all depends on the child and the child's needs.
Right.
Okay.
So let's say I decide to become a foster parent. How long does the process take from my initial phone call to you to when I get to bring a child home?
That is a very good question. There's no easy answer to that question. But just let me break it down a little bit. How about we do it that way?
Yeah, that works.
Is call me up, take the inquiry. At Youth Villages, we rotate classes. We do back-to-back classes. So when we get through with one set of classes, which is going to be about 6 weeks long, We usually have a gap of about a week, and we pick up and start classes again. Not all agencies do that. So it's really going to depend who you pick that you're going to foster through.
Okay.
But again, we rotate ours, you know, quickly. So let's say you call me today. Well, our next rotation is not going to be till the middle of June when we start our next round of classes. In the meantime, if you're ready to start, I'm going to go ahead and get you started on the paperwork. So we'll start that and hopefully have most of the paperwork done before we even start classes. That, again, a perfect world. Then we start classes, and the classes will be over in about 6 weeks. We can get you within another 2 weeks after that. We'd love to get you licensed because we have to put all the paperwork we've asked from you and compile what's called a home study. That home study is that legal document that goes to the government that licensed you as a foster home. That legal document depends on if there's one person in the home or five people all in the home, how large. For a one person home, typically it's about 10 type pages. So obviously the more people that are in the home, the longer the home study is going to be. The home study is also the legal document used if you adopt a child. So
okay.
at Youth
So same
Villages,
thing.
we,
Okay.
right. At Youth Villages, we actually do adoptions too. So let's say that we're able to get the training done. You've got all the paperwork in. We're able to get that home study done in 2 weeks. It comes down to the match of your home. It's not about just putting a child in that bed. It's about matching that child to that home. That's incredibly important to us at Youth Villages. So that's part of our standard of care.
Right, yeah.
So it really depends on how quickly you go through the classes, how quickly you get that paperwork to me, and, you know, how quickly we're able. It could be that, you know, recently I just licensed home. We actually had a match for her 2 weeks before everything was done for her. So as soon as she got licensed and we got the email back that everything was cleared for her to be a foster parent, we were able to place the child that day in her
Oh,
home.
wow.
So it may not be a long, long journey
Right.
like we're
Right.
thinking. Donna, I don't want us to run out of time, but I do want to ask about this. So I know a lot of foster children have been through a lot of things, and some might need more behavioral support and emotional support than others. So is this available once they're placed with the family? And also, are there resources available to the family if they need some help?
And again, I will speak to Youth Villages in particular. We have, at Youth Villages, we have a therapist. That's the person that comes to your home as a foster home every week.
Oh,
that is a therapist.
Okay, that's great.
Yes, support.
So
that's great.
we sort of cut out the middleman. With Youth Villages, we have a continuum of care. We don't outsource those. We have the therapist that comes to your home that is employed by Youth Villages. We have a psychiatrist that does the medications, things like that. So we don't outsource that because we value our foster parents' time, and we know it takes time to set those appointments up and to take them to those appointments. So therefore, we try to cut some of that out and make it as easy as possible because we know that already we're asking you to do a lot as a foster parent. So yes, and when that therapist comes into that home, we're not just worried about that foster child in that home. We're worried about everyone in that home because the more stable that home is, the better it's going to be for everybody and the easier it's going to be able to move that child from that trauma into being rerouted and on their way to resilience.
I
So
love that.
it's
That is
incredibly important
wonderful.
for us
Yes.
to have that wraparound services
I
there.
love that.
So I have one more question for you too. And before we met with you, Tanil and I were talking about this issue because I was like, oh, I just don't know.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about, you know, the attachment issue. You know, does it only hurt the first time you get attached to this foster child and then they're, you know, move back home or to, you know, with a family member or whatever? Or does it get easier with the next ones? And do most people continue to do it? Like,
yeah,
I
we're just
just
scared we're not going to want to let them go and we're going to get attached.
Yes.
I hear that a lot when I'm out recruiting, and I understand that the fear. But why do you have to let them go? Just because they're not in your home doesn't mean you can't support them
True.
And love them and take
No.
care of them. We encourage that at Youth Villages. One caring adult can make such a huge impact
Yes.
on a child or anyone. Think of it, as we even get older, we still need to know that we're loved and cared about. That is part of our human nature. So, and that's what I talk about to our parents is we talk about how to attach to the child because obviously some of our kids have some attachment issues. But we also talk about what do we do when the child's getting ready to leave that home because things are going to change. But it doesn't mean that there has to be cut ties. It just means that things are going to look a little different. You know,
okay. Yeah,
and
I like that perspective.
Right. And I think any foster parent would tell you that no, it doesn't get any easier, but you have to focus on what you're doing, what a difference you're making in someone's life. And that's usually what is the driving force for someone to become a foster parent. So when they look at it from that viewpoint, they're like, yeah, it's worth it.
Well, I love that part, Ben. Sarah, that
Yeah,
helps us to
that
kind of
definitely
relax a little
does.
bit. But say someone is listening right now, Donna, and they're saying, this sounds great, but I'm just not at the stage where I want to be a foster parent, but I want to volunteer. I want to help. What could somebody potentially do?
Well, there's several things that you can do. First off, if you're not ready to be a full-time foster parent, we have respite parents. You do have to go through the same process, but we have families that just come through to be respite parents where they only take a child maybe for 1 or 2 days and they get to decide when that is. We desperately need those also. But if you're not ready to walk down that avenue yet, there's lots of ways to donate. We just recently, last week, a few weeks ago, had a quilting club make a beautiful donation of quilts for our kids because often they come in with not a lot other than their clothes and they have toys left behind that they can't bring for multiple reasons. So, a donation of like quilts or volunteering, you can become a mentor for our kids. There's also suitcase drives. Nobody wants to see those children bring their items that they do bring in garbage bags. There's all sorts of ways to volunteer or donate or give back. Everyone's got something they can bring to the table. And feel free to reach out to me. The local phone number is 731-660-6767. If you're interested in becoming a foster parent, or if you're just looking to see how can I give back in some way, whether it's to volunteer some time, become a mentor, or whether it's to organize something to that we give to the children when they come in. There's just so many different ways that you can get involved that make a huge impact on these children.
Donna, could you give us that phone number once again?
Absolutely. 731-660-6767.
Thank you so
Yeah,
much for
this has
this
been very
information.
enlightening. Thank
Yes,
you.
it has. And, I hope that our listeners have gained some information about becoming fosters, and maybe there are some out there
I
that's
sure hope
ready to
so.
foster.
Yes.
So thank you
Yes.
again, Donna. Thank you to our listening audience today. And happy Father's Day this weekend to all the great fathers out there. Sarah, you got a great father
I
still, Mr.
do.
Bill.
Very thankful for him.
Shout out to
Yes.
Mr. Bill and to
Yes.
all of you fathers. Have a good one. In the words of Mr. Bob Marley, live the life you love.
And love the life you live.
Take care.